this is more than a hobby. Give them more like I'm Bobby. This is my team and they got me. Shout out to Billy, we're bonding. We got us 3 cups, mate. I know it ain't too late. We'll turn that 3 into 4 and turn that 4 into 8. So come on, you Irons. It's time, throw on your claret and blue and listen up to this rhyme. 112 years, wow. Iconic bowling ground at London Stadium now. I'm forever blowing bubbles.
We are top league, say we are top league. We are top league, say we are top league. We are top league, say we are top league.
Welcome to another episode of the West Ham Way USA podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Brawley Darbin in St. Louis, Missouri. And on the other side of the line, we have Tony Clark in Harrisburg, I think, this week.
Yep, I'm in Harrisburg this week. Brawley, I feel like it's a recurring game we like to play. What city is Tony in? This week, I'm in Harrisburg, sometimes Philly, New York, but I am in my hometown working this week.
Awesome. Well, we're both in pretty good moods, I would say, after that crazy result. And it's just kind of weird how we've had Leicester's number this past two seasons, but I tell you what, it was just a terrific day all around for me. I was able to get out of work, head on down to the Amsterdam Tavern and watch the game with some of the boys at the pub who were also able to sneak out of work. So were you able to watch the whole game or what were you doing today?
Bro, I'm sure your conversation with your boss, if people could see me do the air quotes, you had a client visit or something going on there, right? So that you could client visit the pub. No, I couldn't get out of work. Luckily, I have a TV in my office. It was, and I have my own office, so I could be loud and yell as much as I wanted to telly. So yeah, it was great. I could still watch and do my work at the same time. Don't tell my boss.
Yeah, I won't snitch on you. Although your boss might understand if you told him that the game was on, don't you think?
Well, honestly, how much PTO I use going over to England, I think that they'll understand where my priorities lie, and I haven't gotten sacked yet. So I think we're doing all right on that front.
Yeah. Anyway, why don't we just like dive right on into the game, because I think we just have a lot to talk about in this action packed game. So the lineup
we have a lot.
Yeah, we do. The lineup was released, and to the surprise of pretty much no one, it was the same 11 that beat Newcastle last week. But there were some rumblings that Areola was going to start over Fabianski. And I think we talked about it last week about how you would prefer Fabianski over Areola. And I said I would start Areola. Were you pleased to see Fabianski still starting?
I'm indifferent. For me, in a good and bad way, in my mind, we can talk about it obviously later. But if we're talking about pre-match thoughts, mine's one way, half, six one way, half a dozen the other. That's the saying, right? Where I'm confident Fabianski. He's shown that he could play the last three seasons for us. However, they must have felt enough that they could get Areola and he'd be a great find. So I'm indifferent. I guess I would like to stick with the devil I do know, and that's Fabianski at that time.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say I was disappointed to see Fabianski play, because I still know he's a solid keeper and he'll do a job for us. But you know, part of me wants to also see that new signing, because it's the only new signing we've had and we haven't got to see any new faces yet. So I was a little disappointed that Areola wasn't starting, but I mean, that's an easy one to brush over, because it's not like Noble was starting over Benrahma or something like that.
Right.
It was a position that made sense. But as the game got started, I thought we really did not start that well. Although it could have been, I thought it could have been a part of Moyes' game plan, where I said last week on the show that when we play Leicester, we out Leicester. And again, I don't know if that makes any sense to anyone else but myself. But what I mean by that is Leicester really typically don't dictate the game, where they don't have a ton of possession. They usually like to hit you on the counter. And I thought that's what Moyes, kind of the first 15, 20 minutes started out with, was I think Leicester at one point had like 78% possession throughout the first 15 minutes of the game. And I thought we really started on the back foot and we came alive later in the game. But the start was, I hopefully it was a part of Moyes' plan, which again, he's been executing all of them so far. But I really wasn't overly thrilled with the first 20 minutes of the game. What about you?
You know, for me, it was kind of take the counterattack. you know, and I think we executed well. I don't think that we need to score four goals a game. I don't think that, I mean, it's great that we did twice now, mm-hmm. but I think we have to set the expectation is if we can get through the first 20, 30, 40 minutes, nil-nil or bag a goal, I think that's a win. I almost like this tactic. Like, hey, let's not go down early and chase for 85 minutes. Because I feel like that happens way too often. And sometimes you just don't recover.
Yeah. I thought, to use a phrase I like to, I thought we weathered the storm for the first 20 yeah. minutes of the game, which is exactly what is needed. If you're going to play like that and sit off with them, you have to weather the storm.
Yeah, I have a kind of a hot take I need you to be prepared for here.
Okay.
I don't know if it's too much of a hot take, but anyway, I still think, like, on paper, I might even take Leicester's side, or a bunch of their players are very equal to slightly better than ours. Mm-hmm. Not to downplay our fantastic side. So I still think that we may have came into that game as the dogs. And we couldn't go guns blazing. Like, hey, we need to get through whatever time frame Moyes set out so that we put ourselves in a position to get a result later.
Sure.
Yeah, because yeah. I don't think that we can go into every game still. Like, yeah, great. We finished sixth last year. And, you know, obviously we're off to a great start this year. But you can't just go into every game guns blazing.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Although Vegas did have us as the favorites today. I checked the line before the game started.
Really?
And I think it was just a typical even matchup, favor the home team. Yeah, I think the home team was, I think we were plus 135. Leicester was plus 150, I think. So it was really, really tight on the lines. But yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying. But I will say, once we got going, the going was really good. And I think, as I said earlier, we weathered the storm. And then finally, we made the breakthrough. Said Benrahma makes a beautiful little run down the wing and cuts it back into Fornals. And Fornals loves that little crossbody finish. I think he's done that like two or three times. And I tell you what, the scenes, some of the best scenes I've seen behind the home and us scoring down there. I think that was a Bobby Moore lower that we scored in front of, right in front of our buddy's seats down there. And I tell you what, it was just terrific to see limbs and at a home game. Cause you know, not always do you get that. And I think it was finally good to see a full London Stadium under the lights. I think people like to slate the London Stadium, but I will say it does seem like under the lights in these big occasions, the atmosphere is actually really good. And I think it also helped that it was our first game back in front of a full stadium. That definitely helped. But I'll tell you what, there were some limbs going on behind the goal.
We'll get into the stadium atmosphere later. We actually got a question about that. But what I do want to say is, from a American TV point of view, I think although it's still kind of far from a few of the pictures I've seen, like, I mean, my seats were never that far though. Like, I was in the corner on the Bobby Moore lower-ish, and I'm comfortable with my seats. I know there's a lot of people who are far away. Apparently, our seats got a little bit worse. But point of the story is, I think the flat across the back looks 10 times better.
Oh, agreed. 100%.
I mean,
it'd be nice if we could lessen the distance there, but aesthetically, it looks a lot better.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to say it's – because we obviously know it's not a football stadium, even though they've tried, or they say they've tried, but I think it looks better than it did.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%.
Yeah, and I agree, the limbs were great, and it was fun to see. And you know, it is funny now you mentioned that. I don't notice it as much until you said the quiet part out loud, but even like a lot of stadiums, not just us, it's like, you're not making fun of West Ham,
no,
but a lot of home games, you don't see as many limbs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless it's something like the 90th minute.
Right.
Like not something early like this goal.
Right. And for any like American fans who really don't understand what the term limbs is, it's just like when you go absolutely nuts after a goal is scored, you see everyone jumping and screaming and you see arms flailing everywhere. Hence the term limbs. You got limbs flying everywhere.
Limbs.
Just for anyone that maybe wasn't familiar with the term. But again, Pablo Fornals, Mr. Reliable. I, you know, I was never down on him ever. Like, you know how he kind of got shit on a little bit at the beginning of his West Ham career for not being too exciting. But I tell you what, I think Husios and Pellegrini, that's the best signing that they made. I hands down, thank you for bringing him to the club. No thank you to Roberto or Wilshere, but thank you very much for Pablo Fornals. I think we owe them a little bit on that one, because I love the guy. He works his socks off every game, and he just seems to be getting better and better. And guess what? He's like, I should probably looked it up before I said it, but I think he's 21.
No, he's a little older than that, but either way, under 25. So you're telling me that the everyone wrote off an under 25 year old because he didn't perform in the first three games? I mean, that's essentially what happened. It was maybe,
no, you're right, he is 25. You're right, my bad on that one.
Yeah, but think about it, a year or two ago he would have been 23, so that's fair. But he came in with a super high price tag for a young player. Not super high, but super high for us. It was like 20 something, right?
I think it was 20 million, I think. Yeah,
20 million. So, I mean, that's still a fair amount. You expect him to perform, but he didn't at first. It was like, oh, I got to get used to this new league, and I'm also 23 years old. Like, fuck me. Like, a 23 years old, like, that's young.
Yeah.
So, I think people have sometimes too high expectations. I was never, like, for or against him. I was wishy-washy. But I also, like, I don't know how to describe it. I cut Emerson Fernandez a lot of slack, and a lot of people did. So they were like, yo, he's buns. And that whole time he was like 20 years old. So yeah,
that's true.
I mean, that's what you get. But we also know the reality of being in the Premier League, and is patience is hard to come by. There's so much money on the line and so much going on that you don't have there's not enough time to be patient. If you're patient too long, you might be Sheffield United going right back down.
For sure. Yeah, I just think Fornals should be spoken of highly. And I think he is getting the respect he deserves now. I think he, at the end of last year, really put in some good performances. And now you really see him starting to control his game. And because he's not the quickest guy in the world, but he puts himself in some really good positions. He makes some terrific passes. And he breaks up play quite often. So I think all around, Pablo Fornals, five stars for this game. The finish just was the icing on the cake. And to see him really, I just love his passion, because it looks like he really enjoys being a West Ham player, which, you know, I think it goes for a lot of people in this team, where before we always said we had a bunch of like individuals and divas that like could care less if they were there or not. And you can see the passion etched across Fornals' face every time he plays for us. So I just want to give a shout out to him, because I really appreciate the work he's putting in, and I love seeing him celebrate. Even if it was a goal he wasn't even involved in, Fornals is always the guy running up and jumping on them. So I just love it.
It's one of those things where you're talking about passion and just doing the job and the difference between the two. If you think back at some of the players who were just doing the job, like Zaza or Lucas Perez, you know, like some of these guys who just were there, got a check. You didn't feel it. Like, I'm not trying to be disrespectful. Maybe they did, but I didn't see it. I didn't feel it from them, you know. And that's the difference between Fornals. You know, if you look at what he came in as, got a bunch of stick from the fans, wasn't playing that great, wasn't playing poorly. I never thought he was bad, but he was just fine. He was a passenger. He was there. And he took the time, the effort to elevate his game. And you could tell. You could tell the effort and passion that he puts in. So, yeah, I mean, that could have been Perez. That could have been Zaza. Said they were just passengers, and they moved on.
Agreed. I think back then there were far too many individuals and not enough team players, and that's what this Moyes has really done a good job of, finding the right guys, making sure they're team oriented, and cut out the individualistic shit. So I think it's just really great to see. And then we fast forward in the game to the 40th minute, a tackle that I didn't think anything of at the time. And originally, the first time I saw it, I really didn't think it was that bad. But in the 40th minute, obviously, Iose Perez gets red carded for a, I mean, at the end, when he came to realize it, it was a pretty nasty challenge. It was a pretty horrific one. But Iose Perez goes, misses the ball. I think, so he comes off of Cresswell. He takes a bad touch. They say he gets nudged, which I didn't really see a nudge. Like, they say, like, Cresswell pushed him. That's what Brendan Rodgers and Casper Schmeichel said in their post-game interviews. And I didn't really see a nudge. And they said that was the excuse for him going in so high on Fornals' leg, which it could have been snapped in half. Like, I would not have shocked me one bit when I saw the replay if Fornals would have broken his leg there.
The excuse that he was nudged is irrelevant in my book. Like, I think he was bumped. I wouldn't say he was pushed. I think he was bumped. Two guys going for the ball, but he was out of control. Whether that was his fault or not, the deed was done, and it was out of control. It was sloppy. He could have threw himself to the ground instead of leading with that foot. I mean, there was so many things he could have done that he did not. So whether the intent was there to hurt him, I don't think there was.
No.
Really don't know. I really don't believe that one bit. I don't think he's a dirty player. I don't think he's a nasty cunt. I think it was an accident, but he still did it. And the deed was still done. He was out of control, got him high, could have snapped his leg. You got to go, bro. Like, that's what happened, happened.
Yeah, it's
whether it was an accident or not.
The way I
elbow someone in the head, and it's still an elbow to the head.
Well, to that, I think that's a totally different point, because if it was like an Andy Carroll elbow when he's jumping, when you have to use your elbows, I hear what you're saying. What I'm saying is, I think it's a modern day red card, where in the early 2000s, 90s, 80s, 70s, all the way back, that challenge is just a regular part of the game. But in today's society, it's 100% a red card. And it's not even without a shadow of a doubt, it's a red card. It's reckless, dangerous foul play. So, I mean, it's something that endangered the opponent significantly, to the point where if he would have gotten unlucky with that challenge, Fornals' ankle and I was going to say tibia, but that's not the right, whatever the femur? the shin bone. Yeah. Maybe it's a femur. So my bad on anatomy. I don't know my anatomy very well,
It
easily could have broken bones in his leg, and he could have been out a significant period of time. It's dangerous play. Michael Oliver made the right call. And I thought, for once, the refereeing was terrific in this game. It really was.
Yeah, that was good.
It was refreshing to see. I've said for a while now, Michael Oliver is the best the Premier League has to offer in terms of referees. Back when I had Bobby Madley on, he also spoke very highly of Oliver and said he's one of the best in the business. So I full respect to Michael Oliver. And one thing I don't really understand either, after Perez is sent off, you still get Leicester players like surrounding the referee in protest. Like, the decisions made, and what was awesome to see. So now they're playing the replays in the stadiums, which is one thing that we said we had the biggest issues with, was the fans who were paying the money to go to the game were always left in the dark, and the people sat at home were the ones getting the replays. And I thought it was good. And you heard the reaction. I'm not sure if you saw it.
The
biggest exhale let out of that stadium as soon as they saw that tackle, because in slow motion, it is horrific. And
it was nasty. I could have snapped.
It could have. And you've seen it happen before. So I think it's just one of those things. I can see why they feel hard done by, because I agree with you. I don't think Perez meant to do that at all. What I think he was trying to do is get his foot to the ball first, but clearly he's out of control and wasn't even coming close to making contact with the ball, and just ends up about halfway up his leg, which is crazy. I saw a Leicester fan on Twitter trying to compare that to the Balbuena red card. And I was like, bro, that's not even in the same realm of decision. No. Balbuena cleared the ball, like just cleared the ball and came down on the guy's calf, and he let go. Like, he didn't even try to come down all the way on the leg.
I don't even want to entertain that. That's not even close.
Yeah. Terrible. But so we're in agreement. It is a red card. I did see Arlo White, Leicester fan Arlo White, come out and say it was the right decision. And he had quite a few Leicester fans disagreeing with him. But I thought, hands down, 100% a red card. Again, modern day red card. In today's game, you can't get away with that. Whereas back 20 years ago, you definitely could have gotten away with something like that.
But here's the thing, and I firmly believe this. I think you and I would have the same opinion if it was against, if we did it.
Yeah.
Like, I genuinely think that if you and I sitting here tonight doing a podcast, and that was a West Ham player who, like, the roles were completely switched, I think we would be sitting here like, man, that fucking sucks. But yep, he got him good. That's definitely a red. I mean, I don't understand how you can say that it wasn't. You can argue the intent, but the intent is not what's the red or not. That has nothing to do with it.
Yeah,
it was a nasty foul challenge, whatever those three things you said, spot on. So no, I can't even believe people are defending that.
Yeah, and Brendan Rodgers came on after the game and was very critical of the decision because he said it definitely was not a red card. And Schmeichel also came out and said the same thing. Now, in their defense, they're just defending their guy, which I agree. I mean, I think it's fine as a manager and a teammate to come out and defend your guy. And again, to agree with what they're saying, there was no intent there, but exactly what you said, intent doesn't matter. If you endanger your opponent in a significant matter, you are going to be getting a red card and you're going to be sent off. And unfortunately, that's what it was. And people, I've seen a Leicester fan saying they think it's going to get overturned. I think there's no chance in hell it gets overturned.
No,
I think it's dangerous play and it's a definite suspension. Unfortunately, I think Ayoze Perez has one good thing going for him, and the fact that he's never been sent off before. But it's just a rash decision, split second, and you're off the pitch. So, I mean,
I was
kind of nervous going down to 10 men, because it just seems like a typical West Ham thing to screw up, even though this team has proven to me it's not your typical West Ham team. So I was a little nervous. We go into halftime, 1-0 up. Apparently, Mikel Antonio and David Moyes were talking with each other about how David Moyes wasn't happy with Antonio's performance in the first half. And boy, he comes out in the second half and really puts on a display for the ages. I thought Antonio was so damn good in the second half, and we reap the rewards. Antonio again, ball hunting, absolutely sneaks up on Soyuncu, and it was a terrible back pass. I'm not gonna lie. I mean, it was a really bad mistake. That was dumb as fuck. But Antonio,
that's what we would have done.
Pressing again, we're pressing, which I love to see. You force the issue, you force the mistake. Antonio looks up, finds Benrahma, and what do you know? Side Benrahma makes it 2-0. My guy, my dark horse for hammer of the year, said it before the season started, and it's looking good so far. But Side Benrahma buries it, makes it 2-0, and he ends up having, at that time, 2 goals and 2 assists already in the Premier League when he only had 1 goal all of last season. So just buzzing for Benrahma to get one in front of the West Ham fans.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm shocked that we scored there. Like, I felt like that was the most that I felt that caused a great big mistake, and it would have been very us to not score that.
Sure.
You know, he did a great job to intercept that, and I thought he was just going to shoot. Like, I thought he was just going to be like, well, fuck, open net, let's get it. And no, he ended up doing the pass, and there's a lot that could have went wrong there. It could have been a bad pass. Benrahma could have scuffed it. So I think that we really need to reward these guys for making that happen.
Oh yeah. 100%. It reminded me, it was a while ago. I don't
like
remember
that was not easy.
No, it was not. And it reminded me slightly of a goal. I actually went to a game. I think it was the last year at Upton Park when we were playing against, I think it was Leicester actually. And Paul Konchesky made a terrible back pass, and Andy Carroll hopped on it and scored the goal. It was a very, very similar goal, and it was against Leicester. It absolutely was. It was Paul Konchesky gave it away, and it just reminded me of that goal. Anyway, Yuri Tielemans actually makes it 2-1 a few minutes later in the 69th minute. Nice 69th minute goal.
Hey, get it.
I was starting to sweat a little bit. I'm not going to lie. Although I wasn't too like, oh, we're going to blow this. Like, yeah, 3-0 leads, 2-0 leads, West Ham are going to blow it. But I'm not going to lie, I did start to sweat a little bit when they got that one back. What were your thoughts when Tielemans scored that greasy-ass, nasty goal?
Yeah, I was frustrated, man, because I really felt, whether or not it was the red card that helped us, I felt that we were in total control of that game.
For sure.
Like we were. I mean, the players were smiling. Everybody wanted to get a touch on the ball.
They were having fun.
They were having fun, and I was having fun. Like, I genuinely thought we were in total control of that game, that Leicester didn't even stand a chance. I mean, when they scored that goal, that was had to have been their first time in the in our half.
Or yeah, I think it was like the first time I remember Vardy actually touching the ball, because Vardy carried it down the wing. Yeah, did they? I didn't hear that.
Well, no. I was just saying they mentioned at one point that Vardy had very, very, very minimal touches.
Yeah.
So I mean, I was a little annoyed. I thought it was very bad defending, and Fabianski usually does much better closing down. Like, I think that's one of his strengths is closing down. And it just went right under him. So I think it was a sloppy, cheap, nasty goal. And I didn't think they deserved it. I don't think that they earned it at all. Not that you have to earn every goal or deserve every goal. I just thought we were in total control, and I was nervous because who's to say that they weren't going to do that again, especially after we were dominating. So yeah. And then we went ahead and did our thing, but I'll let you go forward.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it came out of basically nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a Leicester fan at the game, and I was like, I can't remember Vardy actually touching the ball prior to that. And what do you know? You get him involved and him and Madison involved, and next thing you know, the ball's in the back of the net. So that's what you got to do. But needless to say, 10 minutes later, the beast was unleashed, and Mikel Antonio with, I thought, was an absolutely terrific goal. It's just amazing what the guy can do in tight spaces in order to just buy himself a yard. And I thought the pass in from Declan Rice on the wing was terrific, into his feet, exactly what he wants. And then he's going to rub up right against you and then create that yard of space and absolutely piss missile into the net. And he's becomes West Ham United's all-time highest scoring Premier League player. And I was absolutely buzzing for the guy. And then I didn't know what he was doing at first when he ran over to the bench to get a prop. And then all of a sudden I see him doing like the dirty dancing dance with the cardboard cutout. And at first I couldn't even tell what the cutout was. I thought maybe it was a trophy or like something. And then I realized it was actually himself. And he gave himself a little peck on the lips of the cardboard cutout. So I thought that was hilarious, but what a goal.
Yeah. I couldn't figure out what he was doing because I thought he was holding it upside down wrong or something. Like, I thought he was trying to lift himself up and show everybody. I'm like, dog, all we see is this white piece of cardboard. But he did say in the post interview on Sky, I don't know if you got it on NBC. He was talking about he was going for like, is it Titanic or Dirty Dancing? Whatever it is when they lift each other up.
Yeah, it's Dirty Dancing. I had the time of my life. Yeah, that one.
Okay.
And you're welcome for blessing you with my lovely singing voice.
Well, I was going to say, I know that microphone ain't being used for singing. So, yeah, I mean, it was a brilliantly worked goal. He did a fantastic job holding it up. And he's becoming such a finisher. And it's a weird thing to say about the guy who is now your club's all-time leading scorer. But, I mean, he just put that away with such power. And he's such a good player. And I feel terrible because I feel like I have to bring this up just because I need to embarrass myself. But I just remember, was it January 19 or January 20? I think it was January 19, where you and I recorded a pod. And I said, Ogbonna and Antonio, it's time for them to go, both of them.
Yeah, I think I agreed with you.
I think it was either right before or after a Palace game, or maybe Antonio was linked to Palace or something. I don't know why Palace reminds me of this story. But I remember saying, hey, look, they were great. They had the memories of the final season, but it's time for them to go. And now Ogbonna is our best center back, and Antonio is our all-time leading scorer. So, fuck going on now.
Yeah, why maybe the Palace – Palace memory sticks out in your head? Because I think if memory serves me right, there was Selhurst away at Palace, and all he had to do was keep the ball for like 10 more seconds.
That's what it was.
Kick the ball out of play or something, and he gave it away. And then I think Zaha ended up scoring real late on to draw level, and that's probably what it was.
Something makes me think I was there. I've done Palace away twice.
Yeah, you might have done it twice. That would have been the time. That would have been roughly a time, I think, when you were probably going more often. That would make sense to me. Go check your groundhopper.
Yeah, I'm going to have to do that. Okay, you keep talking. Keep moving forward with the game.
Anyway, I just thought it was a terrific goal by Antonio. And then in the 84th minute, 4 minutes later, basically not even close to the exact same thing, but a ball served into Antonio, who takes actually not a bad touch. People said it was a bad touch. I didn't think so. I thought he actually controlled it well to turn and do what he did. And then I call that goal just wanting it more than your opposition. He wanted that ball in the back of the net, and he didn't give a shit who he was going to go through to get there. But he beat his man, beat the goalkeeper, just got a little toe to it, and it ended up in the back of the net. It's 4-1, all delirium in East London, and it's just time to party. And I think Mikel Antonio deserves all the praise in the world for both of his goals. And I thought he was superb tonight. And I got to say, Sofal, great ball into him. And Sofal again, I mean, I could go down the list of these players one by one and just say, great game, great game, great game, great game. And Sofal just added to the list, but I thought it was a great assist. And Antonio slots it away. 4-1, game done and dusted, truly well done and dusted. And we sit top of the league. We are in first place in the Barclays Premier League for the second time, only the second time ever in our history. And the only other time was August 22nd of 2006. So both the times have been in August. This time, one day later, but I must say, scoring 8 goals, conceding 3, plus 5 goal difference, 6 points, top of the league. It doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah. First of all, real quick, I was there February 9th, 2019, awesome. According to my groundhopper. I was there, which is great at the same time. Top of the league. Holy shit. I texted about 15 people that screenshot just so I could savor the moment a little bit.
Because we don't get to see that very often.
No. And I don't know. The second care. Time ever. Honestly, you know, it's probably like going to be karma that we might go into a tank. But, you know, here's the thing. We have a chance to keep on going, too. We got Palace next.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it could be tricky, but hey, if they got past Newcastle and, you know, a red card helped, but we took care of Leicester, we can keep going.
Yeah, we've actually got some pretty favorable matchups coming up. And I'm not saying we're going to win all of these games, but our next games are Crystal Palace, and then we go – I'm sorry, my thing's just frozen here. We play Crystal Palace, and then we go away to Southampton, and then we're home to Man United, and then away to Leeds, home to Brentford. So we've got some winnable games there. Like, normally we seems like we're – Man City, Liverpool, a whack lowered game, and then Man United, Arsenal, like all those crazy games. And we've actually, and I don't think I mentioned this before, but it's something I've been thinking. I think it's been critical, absolutely critical, to pick up points early in the season when we're not playing midweek, because I think these teams, Newcastle, Leicester, Crystal Palace, Southampton, all would have said we would much rather play them later in the year. And it is critical when we're not playing midweek to picking up these points. So I just wanted to mention that.
We only play I want to say it because it's ever changing, but you know, your traditional top six, the big six, right? We only play them back to back one time. And that's at the end of the season. We play Arsenal and Chelsea back to back. Other than that, there's always a mid table or lower table team intermixed in throughout the whole season. Nice. I think the biggest thing is, you said it perfectly, is we need to pick up these points now, because who knows what our squad depth is going to be and what's going to happen when we hit Europa League.
Yeah, Wednesday, Sunday.
If they even take that seriously, they might bin off the Europa League for all I know. I mean, I don't know what depth these guys should not be playing 46 games. So, but yeah, I mean, this is a great way to start top of the table. I'm pumped, man.
Yeah, you and me both. And we actually have something to look forward to. We have the Europa League draw this Friday. So on my birthday, the draw, I'm sure you're going to be tuned in with very heavy interest because who knows? I mean, hopefully we get to go to some of these European games, which would be terrific. And I know you're massively looking forward to that. And I if I can get to a game this year, I'm definitely going to try to do so because who knows if it'll ever happen again. So I think we got to take the chance while we can. Just hopefully COVID allows us to travel. But I'm really excited. I'm going to be tuned in. I don't know where it's like live. Is it? Do they cover the Europa League draw over here? Do we know where we can watch it?
Yeah, it should be on like Fox. I mean, like it should be like live streamed through Fox, I believe, or CBS. Paramount Plus.
Does CBS have the rights to the Europa League?
Paramount Plus does, I believe.
Yeah, so just CBS, right? Yeah.
I've budgeted all summer so that I can go to all three away games.
Mm-hmm.
So that and my goal is to go to three away games and one home game out of the six. And I'm automatically, no matter what, going over Thanksgiving. Well, obviously, other than COVID. I've already blocked off time off for the Thanksgiving Europa League game and Man City away will be my first time at the Etihad. So that'll be exciting. And then if wherever the other three away games fall, if that tends to be a home game. So we'll see. I'm really praying we get an Italian draw. I've been learning Italian since February. So
who are the Italian teams in the draw? I know you've been researching this stuff. I haven't really done any research.
Listen, I can name all 64 teams or 80 teams, whatever it is. No, Napoli and
go ahead. Sorry,
Napoli and Lazio.
Those are two big time teams, which would be awesome. Who would be your ideal draw if you could pick the three teams that we get in our group?
The problem is like the whole pots thing, so I'm just gonna like ignore the potential pots.
Yeah,
and,
just
like,
say who you goes would want. And
what.
Yeah.
Okay, so definitely an Italian team. So either Lazio or Napoli. I think I prefer Lazio because, although I really don't care for Rome, it would just be easier to fly in and out of Rome.
Yeah.
I really would like to see like Red Star or some sort of
Eastern European
Czech team. Yeah. Go to an East European game where like I'm
hopefully
scared
don't
for
get
my
killed.
Life.
Yeah. Hopefully don't get killed.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like those fucking Nice ultras, which we could talk about that later.
Yeah. So I want to go to like a very dangerous away game, like something where I'm like, oh my God, I'm about
in
to
a cage.
Die
like you're in a cage in an away end.
Exactly. Yes, sir. Where they're like climbing the fences and shit.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. I want all of that. I want to go to Italian because I love Italy. I'd like to move there one day. And I've been learning it. So that would that. And then my last one is I want a sunny holiday. So like maybe a Spanish team or like somewhere on a coast, maybe like a French team on the coast where I can get some sun rays, get nice and tan, blah, 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 blah. So that's my goal. Like, I really don't want to draw some like Romanian team. I have no interest in going like I don't want to go to Russia. Like, hey, if we have any Russian or Turkey listeners, like cool for y'all. That's not really a place where I'm trying to go. Like I'm trying to stay away from that area for me. So I'd like to stick with like Italy or somewhere warm or maybe a little dangerous like Croatia and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I really don't want or like actually no, that's a lie. Like Denmark would be kind of cool. Never been there, but
yeah. I think there's a lot of exciting prospects, and truth be told, I don't really know who's all in the draw. I can see right now who's in the qualifiers, and I gotta say, I think Olympiakos would be incredible to get to go to Greece. I think that would be special. And then something where the travel isn't as luxurious, but I think Rangers would be a terrific draw for us. And then I think like an Italian team, like as you said, a Napoli or a Lazio. And really, Lazio and West Ham fans have kind of like always had a good, like a nice rapport with each other. So that would be interesting to see. I don't know if it's the Paolo Di Canio connection or what there, but it does seem like Lazio fans and West Ham fans get along, kind of like how Man City and West Ham fans get along. It's kind of strange. And then like Slavia Prague are in the qualifiers as well. That would be an interesting thing to see how that plays out, to put the Czech boys up against their former team. I think that would be interesting, but I think Rangers and Olympiacos would be my like top two. And then probably like Napoli or an Italian team would be really cool. But I'm just going to be grateful for whoever we get. And I'm going to be excited that I get to watch West Ham on a lot of midweeks throughout the fall. So I'm really, really looking forward to it.
Yeah. I mean, the crappiest thing about us is like, it's in the middle of our work day.
Yeah.
You know, anything midweek, just like today. But at the same time, you know, like I said, I've been budging my PTO. My boss said to me, she's never seen me with this many hours of PTO since I haven't been going to England year.
That's right.
So I told her, I said, hey, don't listen. You get what you wish for. So I will be taking Thursday to Monday off probably at least four times this fall.
Yeah. And I'm sure they will be loving you being gone like every other week throughout that time. Yeah. But anyway, so what do you say we just get right into Twitter, because we did get a lot of reaction,
a bunch,
which is awesome. Thank you to everyone who interacted with us on Twitter. We just asked for instant reactions for the game and get the questions in. So thank you so much for doing that. And to kick it off, the first one I have here is from our buddy Dan Roberts at Roberts Daniel on Twitter. And he says, this team clearly loves and plays for one another. Does Moyes have it right, only wanting to bring in the right players as opposed to just talented players? So what do you think about this one, Tone?
Yeah, I think the key here, similar to the conversation we just had, really, when we're talking about having the right fit, having the right mentality, these guys all seem to want to play for each other.
Yeah.
And play for the badge and play for the fans. Maybe I'm living this weird, like, idealistic world or this fantasy world where that's happening and they're not just playing for a check. But it having the right fit seems like, if you're not going to spend a lot of money on super talented players, you have to have people in the right system and the right mentality. And yeah. I think that's what they finally got right, or at least Moyes has gotten right in this scenario. And one other thing, this kind of leads to getting players in and recruitment. My buddy Clay texted me, jokingly said, GSB in, right? Because I was, when I said top of the table, and I had to help him understand. I'm like, no, one, still fuck them. But two, they owe, this is how it relates back to your question, is they owe David Moyes the biggest thank you in the entire world. Yeah. Because they did zero investment this summer so far, minimal last year.
Since January, they profited £20 million from Haller.
Yep. And trying to recoup funds from their terrible air purchase in the first place, and Anderson, and the paying Pellegrini and all their other fuckery. They have done zero investment, and they owe David Moyes the biggest thank you in the entire world, because he has turned this side into a Europa League side. He has turned this side into a top of the table side after two games. I know it's only two games, but that's where we're at. So, he's working miracles with not much. Yeah, so, GSB would, out, fuck them, but they owe him a thank you.
Well, and you would think that he deserves some backing. Like, you would go and get the guys that the manager wants. And it's incredible to me that you let Milenkovic, if Milenkovic was the guy that the gaffer wanted, and you let him walk over agents' fees. Like, that's how cheap you are. Now, don't get me wrong. The agents could be out of line in asking for too much money. But if that's the guy the manager wants, then go get him. That's the guy wants.
How much could the fees really have been?
I mean, probably a couple million pounds. It's probably a couple extra million pounds, which is a lot of money to us. But to them, if that's the guy that's going to help bolster your European squad, and that's who your manager wants, then like, just go get the guy. I don't understand what the issue is, but anyway, I digress. I agree with you. I think Moyes has it spot on. We just gotta give up like control and just realize Moyes is the man. He's got it under control. So if he's got his thing going, then then I'm okay with it. So I'm here for the ride. I agree with everything Dan Roberts said. The next one here is from Ian Tricheri, and he says, "Evening, fellas. Some say the London Stadium has no atmosphere. Today's performance shows what it can be like. What do you guys think?"
Yeah. Doesn't Ian, he normally says chaps, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does usually say something along those lines. Ian great.
Switching it up on us, bro.
Yeah, he's
I actually met him.
Oh, did you? Cool. That's dude, awesome. Man. Yeah, he seems like a really, really nice guy. Yeah, he's awesome, really nice.
Dude. Yeah, I was at, actually, funny enough, no, it wasn't that Palace game. Coincidentally, it was a different Palace game, I think. Either way, it was the Matty Jarvis West Ham Way event.
Oh, cool.
Which was, it was awesome, by the way.
I like Matt Jarvis.
Yeah, I know. I was real excited because I like Matty Jarvis too. He was probably one of my favorite players. Anyway, speaking of one of my favorite players, man, I miss Stuart Downing.
He just retired, just announced his retirement last week.
Really?
Happy retirement to Stewie.
Yeah, I don't know why I got on that. Anyway, the London Stadium, yeah, man. So I've lived, like I said, I've lived over there. I always say to every pod, but long story short, I've been to some games over there, and it has been dead quiet.
Yeah.
Dead quiet. And I've been to a bunch of games where it's been incredible. And under the lights and loud, like deafening, 60-some thousand people singing Bubbles. Like, incredible. The chills. I have chills just sticking on my arm right now. So, as much as it's not a football stadium, because it's not, it's what the fans make it. Now, at the same time, it's what the players give the fans something to get excited for. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Yeah. So if we're getting waxed 4-0, well, yeah, of course the atmosphere is going to be shit, you know? But if we're playing Spurs or Leicester and we're up 1-0, hell yeah, the crowd's going to be roaring that team. So it's whatever the players and the club give us something to cheer about, and the fans will come.
Yeah, you're spot on. It all comes down to what effort we see being put forth on the pitch. And I think the fans will follow the players' lead. If the players are out there giving it their all, entertaining them, scoring goals, it's going to be a terrific atmosphere. But if they come in, Sam Allardyce it up, put Park 11 behind the bus, and play like dreary crap football, the atmosphere is going to be dull and boring. So, I mean, it's all about what the players deliver on the pitch, and hence why today in that Tottenham game and Chelsea game back in the day was so terrific. Go ahead. You have a point you wanted to make?
Yeah, I feel like I said this on a recent pod, but I'll bring it up one more time real quick just because it plays to this point. At the last season at the Bowling Ground, the last season, this is it. That Sunderland game where we won 1-0, I mean, that shit was dead. Like, the atmosphere was terrible that morning. I mean, myself included, I was part of the atmosphere, and I was like, it was a 12 o'clock kickoff. Everyone's like, yeah, I'm not really feeling this. And so it really has nothing to do with the stadium exactly. Like, sure, is
the distance to the pitch doesn't help.
Right. It's did the club give you something to cheer about? Did the fans give you something? I mean, did the players give you something? If the answer is yes, then yeah, it's going to be a fucking loud, rocking place. That's what makes West Ham fans the best.
Yeah. And I said this to the guys at the bar I was at with today. It is terrific for us to start making our own memories in this place. And once you get past, we're never going back. It's time to start creating our own history here. And today we got to see a piece of that. Mikel Antonio became our all-time highest leading goal scorer with an awesome celebration that no West Ham fan is going to forget that celebration. Under the lights against Leicester, a 4-1 win, West Ham go top of the league. Antonio becomes our highest ever Premier League goal scorer. That is an historical night in West Ham United's history. And to me, it's great. It is finally so good for us to start making some awesome memories and create our own history in that place, because we've got to get past it. And as much as everyone wants to go back to the old ground, it's never coming back. We have to create our own memories. And we did that tonight. And I'm so happy for that.
To further your point, I really think the Europa League fixtures is going to help that.
Sure. Good.
I think it'll be interesting. I mean, especially if we can somehow manage to get out of the group stage. Like, yeah. Could you imagine a Thursday night knockout game.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll be fucking nuts.
Yeah, it will be.
If we can even get out. Let's crawl before we ball here. But I think it'll be nuts. How about I read the next one here?
Yeah, go ahead.
Tony Hatcher. Shout out to Tony Hatcher, by the way. He was the one who met Jack, right?
Yeah, he got to meet Jack Collison in the most recent game, and I thought that was awesome. That made me really happy to see that, honestly. Yep.
So shout out Tony Hatcher for meeting our boy Jack Collison in Pittsburgh. Anyway, buzzing even more than I was after last night. What a result. Is that your new favorite Antonio Celi? Okay, so what is your favorite all-time Antonio celebration, bro?
Oh, that's tough, I must say. So I think I'm going to go top three. This one actually doesn't.
You can't take three. How the fuck am I going to answer it?
I'm taking my top three. I'm just going to give my top three. This one does not fall into this top three, but at number three, I think it's got to be the carpet rub. I think that was one of the most unique, like, West Ham things to ever happen. Like, West Ham fans are making such a big deal about the AstroTurf being put around the right color. So I thought that was awesome. Number two, I think the Carlton is one of my favorite dances ever. I did it as a kid, so it was really cool to see the Carlton. And then number one gotta be the Homer Simpson when he ran ran in circles on the ground. I thought that was my favorite. So number one's gotta be the Homer Simpson. But give me your top three.
No, I'm mad at you. I'm not even gonna answer that, because my top one was the Homer Simpson, because I was at that Spurs game.
Well, so even if I gave you one, it would have been the Homer Simpson, and then you would have still would have taken your answer. So
okay. You know what? Yeah, you know, I'm a little mad because you actually have a point there. So whatever. Yeah, I think that also, whatever he was doing with that like hopscotch nut grab thing that he did against Spurs away.
Yeah, that's a good
was
one.
Hilarious.
What was it? Isn't that dude American? That's like Dan Rue, I think, is he copies his dance moves. I'm pretty sure the guy's American, but that's who he was imitating. I'm pretty sure he's like just a TikTok or some sort of social media star, but that's who he was imitating that day. And it was hilarious just to see his package just flailing in the breeze there, giving it to the Spurs fans. I think you're right, that one should have been up there. That's a good one.
I think those are my top two. Whatever he was doing at Spurs, I thought was hilarious. And then obviously, I guess both came against Spurs. That's funny.
He does like scoring against Spurs, I will give him that.
He picked a good team to score against. All right, next question. Mike Crawley says, amazing game. How long can we perform like this with our current squad?
That's a good question. Again, this is why I said it was so important for us to get points early in the season. I've been saying it. How long can we perform? That's a good question. So what, Europa League starts in mid-September, is that right?
September 16th, I think, is the first fixture.
Yeah, so...
Or 16th or 18th, I forget.
It doesn't matter. It's crucial for us to pick up points before then, in my opinion, because I really, truly think if we have this same squad, our Europa League, when we're playing Wednesday, Sunday, it results are inevitably going to start to downturn. When you're playing that many minutes week in, week out, it's going to take a toll on the guys. And if we keep this paper thin squad, the injuries are going to come. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that injuries are going to come. So with this team, if Moyes really thinks that this team can cope with both sets of games every week, then who knows? But I truly think we're going to start to see a slow fall back to earth when Europe comes around. And if we don't add to this team, then we very well may struggle down the stretch. Again, hence why I say it's crucial for us to pick up points early in the year.
This team is one injury away from falling apart. This team is one injury away from falling apart. The depth of this team is shocking.
Yeah. We made our first sub in the 87th minute today, and that was Mark Noble and Yarmolenko.
Yeah. I mean, the depth here is bad. The only thing that we could hope for is that we get a fairly decent draw in the Europa League, where the likes of Mark Noble and Yarmolenko and Baptiste and all those guys would be able to handle the teams of like a Red Star or an Astragugu or some sort of team like that, where in different, I guess I should say, is if we get a tough draw and they have to play all six games. Yeah. Like when we have to trot the first team out to all six games. Like I remember when I went to Anfield to watch the Champions League game when Liverpool played against Red Star, because mm-hmm. my buddy's a big Liverpool fan. Like they didn't need to really play their best team that game.
Right.
Because that team had enough talent. So I'm hoping, I guess maybe that works for us in the Europa League. But yeah, this team is paper thin, man. You know, one injury to an outside back and it's not great. And honestly, outside back's probably one of our best positions between Fredericks and Ben Johnson yeah. being able to come in. Center backs, yikes. Center mids, Noble, Coventry. Wingers, I guess Yarmolenko. I don't. Who am I missing? I'm struggling Lanzini? To think of people.
Yeah,
Lanzini.
Yeah, no. I mean, yeah. To your point, the depth is terrible. Yeah. The depth is horrendous. I can't see Moyes being happy with this. Like, just if he doesn't get any more signings, the guy's got to be livid. But
he's not also gonna shit on his boss though. That's what I've been trying to say.
Yeah, he's also confident in the guys that he has, and I truly believe that. And he only wants to bring in the right guys, which is fine. But you really got to get the manager with the guys that he wants. And if we don't get anyone through the door, which I don't think is going to happen, I do think we will sign two or three players. But who knows?
I also don't want to sign people to sign people.
I don't think Moyes is going to allow it. Moyes isn't going to allow that. I really, truly don't think he will.
I'd rather be mad at GSB for not signing anybody than them saying we signed people, they sucked, we spent money, and these people sucked, so we shouldn't have done it. Now we're not doing it next time. Because yeah. that's what they do. They do it every year. They buy shit players, or they have had bad recruitment, and then they say, well, we're poor. Well, yeah, of course you're fucking poor, because you didn't make any money off of anyone you ever brought in. So, I'm very concerned. I also do want to read a different way Moyes' comments. Ready? I think that he's very happy with the first team.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's confident that first team can beat a lot of teams.
Yeah.
But you lose one of those players in that starting 11, you're in dang trouble.
Yeah, agreed. And by the way, just to take a little dig at Tottenham, losing to Pacos midweek in the Europa Conference League was the cherry on my cake. And the videos that this Pacos team have come out with have been nothing short of hysterical. And I absolutely love, and I'm here for it, inject in my veins. I think that shit is hilarious, because, you know, they were laughing at us when we were losing to Astra Gugu and all those guys. It is great to see them lose a team like that. Anyway, the next question we have here is from AG Harris at the Real Harris IV. And he says, Antonio looking like the far and away hammer of the year. Ooh, I don't know about that. Another awesome performance. Great to see the fans back in the match. And hopefully this year we can get some silverware. European football can't start soon enough. I don't know how much we can add to that, but I agree with most of what he just said.
Yeah, that was more of a comment. So keep going.
Yeah, I mean, we can build off it a little bit. Antonio run away with the hammer of the year. I don't know about that. My boy Saeed Benrahma is looking pretty good. And I totally agree. European football, I'm really pumped for. I can't wait. The next one here is from Neil Thompson at Neil WHU Thompson. And he says, can we win the league, lads? With a tongue out emoji to express the sarcastic nature of his comment. And he says, sending love at 5 a.m. in Perth, Western Australia. So shout out to Neil staying up. Assuming through the night to watch that game. And I think the Australian Hammers are very dedicated for those guys. I mean, we have it. I wouldn't say we have it rough. We have to get up pretty early to watch the games. I mean, those guys have to sometimes stay up through the night to watch the game. So shout out to the Australian Hammers and shout out to Neil. You're awesome. Thanks for interacting with us.
You ever been to Australia?
Yes, I have actually. Yeah. I've been to Sydney and I did a trip up the East Coast. I went to Sydney, Melbourne,
Brisbane?
Perth, and Brisbane. No, Perth is on the other side, I think. But Brisbane, and then up to Cairns, up on the northeast coast. But yeah, I have. When I was young, I did a student ambassador trip over to Australia.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, I've never been. I'm just curious.
Lovely country. Right. Lovely people. Lovely country. I got nothing but good things to say about the country of Australia, the continent of Australia.
All right. Next one's from Jez. That's Jezadid, 1972. That was, comma, lesser goal aside, comma, as good as West Ham performance as I've ever seen nearly in 50 years of supporting the club. Wow. Okay, one, that's a long time supporting the club. And two, yeah, I genuinely think it was a very complete, exciting performance. Like, not just a good defense. Like, it wasn't defensively great. But to watch the players enjoy themselves today was really exciting. Like, I think that was my favorite part. Seeing them take a shot and smile, like they're getting on the ball, or like them all wanting the ball, like that's different. I don't remember that too often. So it may have not been the best, like, well played. I think it was the most excitingly amazing I've ever seen them excited to play a game. Like they were really chomping at the bit.
Yeah, I agree with Jez. It's one of the better performances I can think of. Last year, we did have a bunch of really good ones, both Leicester games included in that. But yeah, as far as going to the London Stadium for the first time in a long time, for the guys to come out and play like that, I think that's sending a message to the Premier League, and it shows. I mean, you have the Premier League official account tweeting the emoji top, West Ham top. Like, people are talking about us. Like, that's crazy. That never happens. But anyway, we do have to be wary, because I think after 9 games, Southampton were top of the league last year, and they nearly found themselves in the relegation battle. So I still love their tweet that said stop the count. I think that shit's hilarious, and I laughed pretty hard at that. But let's not get too ahead of ourselves. But I think we can soak every bit of this in and have a good laugh about this along the way. Save those screenshots. West Ham top of the league. You don't see it very often. The next one here is from @75Rogue, and he or she says, amazing performance, makes getting up early. We have another Western Australia listener. He says, makes getting up early in Western Australia worthwhile. Leicester, no longer a bogey team. Great goals all around. And huge shout out to Moyes for putting it all together. I couldn't agree. And shout out to you for another Western Australia watcher to get up that late in the middle of the night to watch. I think that's terrific. So more power to you guys. You have anything you want to add to that one?
No, I will build off that just a tad. I would just say it does, wherever you're at, whenever the team plays well, it really makes you feel good that you invested the time into watching. You know, there's nothing more than being like, fuck, I just took 2 hours out of my day to watch that shit.
Why?
Or like when you're there, or think about us when we fly over and we're like, yo, we came all the way over here for y'all to shit the bed. I think Scott was at the Cardiff game. Do you remember the 2-0 Cardiff game?
Yeah, it was terrible. It was one of the worst games I've ever seen.
The worst game I've ever seen in my time. Like, it was just bad. Really bad. I think Scott was there.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Flying all the way from America, spend all day getting the whales, spend all this money, drink all day, excited to watch a team, and they just lay an absolute stinker.
Yeah, and
I
go in with the mentality is the game is second fiddle to the day out, and that's really the attitude that you got to have. I mean, you got to know going over there, the game is like the least important thing, which I know is like stupid to say when you actually think about that, but the day is about going out with your friends, meeting up in the bar, driving with your two tall boys in the back seat, pounding beers in the back seat of your mate's car, or getting on that train for the 5-hour journey up north. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, it's all about, that is what the day is all about. And the football is second to that. So, but yeah, when I went over for the only game I've still ever been to at the London Stadium, Newcastle at home, we took a 1-0 lead and then conceded the next 3 and lost 3-2. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, what was the point? Like, I was so like Newcastle, that I'm so glad we beat them last week, by the way, because they seem to be our bogey team. But yeah, I totally feel what you're saying. The next one here is from West Ham Yank, and they said, most fun it's been to be a West Ham fan in my lifetime. This squad is like none we've had in my life. The togetherness, right, passion of these players is special. So again, another comment, but agreed. I think that's what I was just saying. It's just so good to see the guys like Fornals and Ben Rama has this like infectious smile about him. I know he's my guy and I have like this man crush on him, but he just seems like so happy all the time. And it's just so good to like see players with smiles on their faces wanting to play for West Ham United. I love it. So I think that's terrific. You want to read the next one, Tony? You have it pulled up?
Yeah, I just want to touch on that one thing. Yeah, I think for me and my supportership as well, this is the highest of the high it's been for me. I think the highs I've had was that championship season was scary but awesome. Yeah. I mean, you finished third, and the way that they got promoted at the playoff
best way to go up. Yep.
Was incredible. Last season at the Bowling, making Europe and just playing well all season then, and going to my first games that season. I went to a bunch that season. That was incredible. But right now has been, I'd agree. I mean, we've had some dark times, especially when the 3 years or so that we've been doing this podcast. Mm-hmm. I think January will be starting our fourth year or fifth year. I think fourth.
This is season four. So
we'll be starting season five come January, or 5 years of doing it. So that's freaking crazy. But I mean, we've seen some lows, and this for me is the high. I hope we continue this. I hope we're not sounding stupid in 3 weeks after two games and it's now four games in. It's like, oh, we're actually buns. But I mean, we're talking Europa League draw on Thursday or Friday. We're talking top of the table today. I mean, this is exciting. This is awesome.
Yep. Agreed. The next one here is from Scott Davis at Scott M Davis TV. And he says, can Tony please clean his office every week going forward? Seems like a good sign. So why don't you tell us the backstory behind that one?
Yeah. So I cleaned the office in my basement, my home office. I absolutely I bought a house, February, and I finally decided hey, let's clean up and finally put all the boxes and shit away that I haven't been using for 6 months. So I cleaned out my basement, made my home office more office, I hung up my flags and shit, and that worked. And then coincidentally today in Harrisburg, I cleaned up my office, my actual building office. Mm-hmm. And so now I got to find some sort of third office. I don't know where that might be, but I need to clean another office.
Find an office and go clean it. I think that's the moral of the story.
I was going to show up at some random fucking office building in the middle.
Yep, just here to clean. Just here to clean.
Yep. I'm now a janitor, but it's working. So hopefully some feng shui, maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, go ahead and read the next one.
Yeah, next one's from Nathan Franklin. Best game I watched in a week.
Amen.
Shout out to Nathan, as he must have thought very highly of that Newcastle performance, as we all did. Our buddy Nick replied with some 10-year-old kid in GIF. The club video.
Yeah.
Love that video.
That's a good GIF. That's a great GIF.
Yeah, I'm glad you call it a GIF. I hate people call it GIF. It's weird.
Yeah, that is.
Strange. Jeremiah Carson, what's up, bro? Literally lost for words. Everything about today was magic and boys. We are top of the league.
We are top of the league. And by the way, you guys heard that at the beginning of the podcast. So I hope you guys like these little sound clips I'm putting in before the game. So hope you guys enjoy that. If you do, please let me know, because it does take me a little time to clip and insert things. And I just hope that people are enjoying my little things that I'm putting in.
So for one note, I want to give Brawley a massive shout out. He has taken over the last, I don't know what the transition was. I think it was when my laptop was broken or something happened.
Yeah.
Anyway, Brawley for the last year and a half now has taken over. Actually, probably just since we switched our name. For the first 2 years, I was editing the pod and putting it all together and uploading it. And then now for the last year and a half, 2 years, he's been doing it. So big shout out to Brawley for taking the time to do it. I think that he now realized how it's not fun. It don't take too long, but it's not obviously short. It's just one extra thing after you talk for an hour and a half. It's like, oh fuck, now I got to put all this together. So
yeah,
thank you for doing that, buddy.
Yeah, no problem. I'm glad I can help. You did it for the first amount of years. I think the first 2 years, you're right, and I've been doing it for the last two. So, you know, just repaying the favor. I'm happy to do it. It is fun to do. And again, I hope people appreciate the things that I'm doing. And by the way, our original theme song is making a comeback. I'm going to be putting it at the beginning and end of every one of the shows now. I found a way to cut it down to where obviously it doesn't say American West Ham Podcast anymore, but it's still our song. I thought it was good to have an intro and outro song. So I think that's fun. So the guys that love it or hate it, the theme song is back because it divided opinion for the longest time. I mean, I think a lot of the traditional West Ham fans despised the rap theme song. But again, we got some really good reviews from seemed like younger people really loved it. So you either love it or you hate it. And if you hate it, go ahead and hit that fast forward button, the 30-second fast forward button. But if you like it, just let it ride. And the song's on Spotify and YouTube, by the way, guys, too. So if you want to go download it, go listen to it.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I know it was a quick out of nowhere thing, but I wanted to shout you out for that. Next one's from AA Ron. By the way, I absolutely love that skit. Aaron Abel or Aaron Smith, whatever he goes by. But AA Ron, absolutely love Key and Peele. Did everyone else think Antonio was doing the dirty dancing lift with his cutout? Maybe referencing that he was having the time of his life and owes it all to you. Like he did say that on the Sky clip. So yeah, that's exactly what it was there.
It's terrific, by the way. I think that's awesome.
Good Soul Promotion says just wow. Hugh Garrison does some hearts and hammers.
Hell yeah.
Neil Fitzpatrick. I'm glad.
Fitzgerald.
Neil. Did I say Fitzpatrick? I meant Fitzgerald. Thank you. Yeah, I'm looking right at it. Yo, shout out to Neil, because I definitely wanted to touch on that, and he tagged us in it earlier, and then he responded here, so I'm glad he brought it up again. Would you bench Fab? I think in both games he has just been a bit off. Also, if Jesse does sign, does he go straight in or wait his turn? So I mentioned saying glad you brought both of these up, because there's two things I want to talk about.
Yeah.
So let's start with the first one. Brawley, would you bench Fabianski?
It's harsh if you do. I thought the goal today maybe could have done a little better, and that's being harsh probably. I think it was just unlucky. Would I bench him? I don't think it's benching him more so it is than giving Areola a run out. So I guess you could say if you're giving Areola a run out, then you are then benching Fabianski. I don't want to bench him because I think he's terrible. I would just like to see what the other guy has to offer at this point. So, and he's a world-class goalkeeper from PSG, Fulham's player of the year on a relegated team. Your goalkeeper is your best player on a relegated team. You know, he had a pretty damn good year, which is why Fabianski ended up with us in the first place. So yeah, I think I would start Areola next week, but again, it's just because I want to see him play.
Now, see, I still say we stick with Fabianski. I really like.
Yeah, which is fine. I'm not.
I don't want to say I put that goal down to him because it was bad defending, but I think he could have done better just because I know what he's capable of when it comes to, like that's his thing, is closing down. But at the same time, we literally are top of the league in 6 points, and we're talking about a goalkeeper change.
Yeah, right. It's crazy.
So no, I don't think so. I think it's a fair question, and that's why I said I'm glad he brought it up, because I've seen it a few places. I just think, although he's been looked a little off, I do agree with that comment. He does look a little, I don't know what the right word would be, but we're also top of the league, and I'm going to keep repeating that as long as I can. The second piece was Jesse. Does Jesse walk back in? If so, who does he replace? Do you not change a winning side? This might be the depth that we need, and they all rotate. But for now, I think he waits his turn, as Neil put it.
Yeah, I don't know if this is a hot take, but don't get me wrong. I would like to sign Jesse Lingard purely, again, for depth reasons. But if Jesse Lingard doesn't want to come, then fuck him. He doesn't want to be here. Now, I'm not saying I'm mad at him for not wanting to come, but I only want guys that really want to be here. And it did seem like he enjoyed his time here, but like if the guy's dithering this long about whether he wants to come or not, then I'm just then move on. Like, does he walk back into this team? Hell no, he doesn't walk back into this team. Because who are you going to drop? You're not dropping Benrahma, who that's who no. he replaced last year. You're not dropping Fornals because he's been terrific. And Bowen's been good, too. You're not dropping Bowen. So does he walk back into the team? In my opinion, hell no, not even close. So I want Jesse to come. I really do. I want Jesse Lingard. He adds a dimension that helps us. He adds a lot of depth. But am I going to be heartbroken if he doesn't come? No, because if you don't want to be here, then I don't want you here either. You know what I mean?
But I think we went over this last week. I don't think that he doesn't not want to be here. Like, I don't agree with that. I think he wants to stay at Man United, but I don't think that they are too synonymous. What's the word where it's like two, you can have two things. Like, I think you can want to stay at Man United and also come to West Ham and be happy. Like, I don't think it's one or the other. I don't think he leaves Man United wanting to be there and it's like, wow, I fucking hate all of y'all and now I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
So I disagree with this notion. It's like, oh, he wants to stay at Man United. Okay, well, he came to West Ham and he performs. Like, I don't think that you can't do both. The other thing is I don't want to sign Jesse Lingard again because I would love to have him back because I like him and I thought he did well for us. However, I would like us to see us spend money on the depth because I don't think that I want to drop any of our starting lineup. Like, I like our lineup. Maybe – see, and like, I want a striker and you can't – can you drop Antonio? No.
No.
So we need depth players that are actually solid depth players, like better than a Yeti, better than Hugel.
Yeah.
But that are not willing to start. So then how do you justify spending money on someone you're not starting? Like, do you get where I'm going with that? Yeah. So I don't want to spend $30 million for Jesse Lingard where he doesn't take one of those three guy spots.
Yeah. It's going to be a rotation depth thing for me. Which is why I'd be happy to see him here. But again, my point was, if the guy like is can't make up his mind whether he wants to come or not, I just want guys that are all in. That's all I'm saying. And I'm not saying he can't come and do a good job and still want to be a Man United player. That's not my point. My point is I want guys that really want to be a part of what's going on at West Ham. And if his heart's in Manchester, then that's fine by me. I mean, he's a lone player. He's not our player, and he's got every right to want to stay at Man United. But if he's up for the challenge and up for the fight and wants to play regular minutes, then obviously the best thing for him to do is come down to West Ham. So all I'm saying is I just want guys that want to be here. And like guys like Zuma, if it takes this much convincing for Zuma to come, then I'd rather let's address somewhere else. Let's get another player in. But it's a double-edged sword because if these are the guys that the manager wants, then you got to do a little extra convincing. Then that's what you got to do.
Yeah, but once you convince them and the paper is signed on the dotted line, you can give 100%.
Sure.
Like I don't agree that if you're like, I don't know, maybe I want to do this or I don't know if the money's right. Well, when the money's right and you sign the paper. And he gives and he goes and he's all in, then I have no issue with that either. I don't think that these are two things that have to contradict each other when it comes to A, wanting to be at two different clubs, like Jesse's scenario, or needing to be convinced with a lot of money. I think you can, if you're like, hey, the money's not right for me, I don't want to be here, sorry. Or, hey, you finally got your money right, now I want to be here and I'll give 100%. Like, I don't think that it's, oh, okay, he asked for a lot of money. He doesn't want to be here.
Sure. Yeah, I think that's fair. I think it's a fair synopsis. I'm trying to say is, and I've repeated it already, I just want guys that really do want to be here. And you're right, though. I mean, after they sign the contract, then they obviously do want to be here. So that kind of defeats that argument, I guess. The last thing we have here is from Dennis at Dennis the Gray. And he says, fucking massive, top of the league. And he sent a video of them singing Bubbles, which I think is terrific. I love seeing clips from people at the game. It makes my heart happy. It's just good to have fans back in the stadium. And I don't know how we did it without fans for so long, because like it just really, really makes me so happy to see. That's all I can say. It just makes me happy to see fans back on the ground. One last thing I did want to address with you is, I know we don't have very strong opinions on the Pi Capital stuff, but the only thing I wanted to ask you is, does Tony Caudi, and again, I don't know if you listened to the interview with Dave and X, the 15-minute interview just with Dave and Tony Caudi, but he came on and is now on board with the Pi Capital guys. And my question to you was, does Tony being involved in the Pi Capital bid make you more likely to want Pi to take over, less likely stay the same? I just kind of want to get your views on it.
I'm not ready to commit. Like I'm
really, no, you don't have to commit.
No. I know you're not asking for me to say it. It was more like a transition where I really still indifferent. Honestly, I am. And I know it makes bad podcasting, but I really don't like GSB. I don't like their vision. I think they're scumbags. I don't like their persona. I don't like what they've done to the club. But with Pi, this seems to me, and you know, respect to Tony for getting on there and getting on that board and being in whatever he's doing. Well, I don't know financially. I guess he's not getting paid, but
no, he came out and categorically said he is not receiving any money for this. This is purely out of his own interest.
Right. So, listen, I'm not throwing Tony Caudi on there. Doesn't change things for me, I should say.
Yeah,
but here's the thing. I'm still not even against Pi. I just think that they've done a terrible job getting any vision or any information out of what their plans are for the club, and I think it's been messy. And I think you just threw Tony out there, and it's like, okay, we're better now. It's like, no, I need to see more action before I get on board, and that's going to take time. So I guess to answer your question, am I more or less on board? No, I'm still about the same, still skeptical. Like I said, I hate GSB, can't stand them. Just because they're slimy, like fuck them. But at the same time, you know, I'm not really pleased with Pi. And just because you throw Tony out there, it's like, oh, okay, it's fixed. No, you got a lot of work to do, pal.
Yeah, I thought them going on TalkSport was probably not the best thing to do. But in their defense, they put out something to our boys at the West Ham Way, and everyone was saying, oh, why aren't you doing this on a Sky or Talk Sport? And then in their defense, they put up Philip Beard and he went on Talk Sport. The interview didn't go very well, if I'm honest. I didn't think he was giving, I think he talked a lot of BS, and I think he talked himself in circles a lot, and I didn't think the interview went very well. And I thought Simon Jordan really grilled him, and it didn't go well for them. And then,
but if you can't take the grilling, then you're not doing it right.
Yeah,
that's part of it
for sure. And I think their strategy, if they could do it all over again, would be totally different. And because they have botched, in my opinion, anything good that they could have done, they pretty much botched it. And it was weird. They made GSB seem like decent at PR for once, which is crazy to me.
Well, the scary thing for me is if they're botching this is the easiest shit. This is don't come off like a dickhead, and they came off like a dickhead. So who's this? I don't know. Again, with my skepticism is again, not that I want GSB, but if y'all can't even handle introducing yourselves, like this is the equivalent of saying, hi, my name is Tony. And I'm like, hi, my name's Jeff. You know, it's like, no, you can't even introduce yourself. I don't think they're not even making any club decisions. They're literally saying, hey, we're Pi Capital and this is what we want to do. And they've done a terrible job at that.
Yeah. The one thing I'll say is to answer the question I asked you, does this make me more or less likely to be excited about them? It did, which again, I'm not sure if you listened to the interview, but the interview that he did, the short 15-minute interview that Dave did with Tony, it did bring me like not very much, I will say, but it dragged me to the more excited side of things than the I could care less side of things. He said things that, but again, I don't know why anyone else from Pi didn't come out and basically say the things that Tony Cotti said. He more or less said he gave, they're going to be a lot of money pumped in. And Tony's an East London boy. He's a West Ham fan through and through, and he's not getting paid to do this. And I think this is the best thing we can do to go forward. And I don't know what Tony's relationship is with GSB. Hopefully he doesn't have one. I'm hoping it's not a personal thing. I want it to truly be the betterment of West Ham opinion. And that's what he came across as. So if someone like that is saying, like a East London West Ham fan through and through is saying that, and who's played for the club, who knows what it means to be a West Ham player, if he's on board with it, that makes me a little, again, I stress it, not very much. It didn't change my mind very much, but it did drag me more to the Pi side than away from it. That's all I wanted to say. But anyway, I think we've gone long enough here, Tony. Thank you for joining me, guys. Thank you for tuning in. I really do appreciate it. It's good to be top of the league. I got to say, it's got to be said, we are top of the league and no one can ever take that away from us. We were top of the league at one point in our West Ham fan lives. We were top of the league once. So guys, if you could please give us a 5-star rating and write us a nice little review on iTunes, that would be greatly, greatly appreciated. If you want to follow Tony on Twitter, you can follow Tony at Tony Clark Dupe. If you want to follow myself, it's at Brawley Darbin. And if you want to follow the podcast on Twitter, it's at West Ham Way US Pod. I think that just about wraps it up. Tony, again, thanks for joining me. And guys, we're going to keep trying to do these weekly podcasts. So this is the first time in a long time we've done one back-to-back Mondays. So
back-to-back weeks. Yep. Are we okay? Are you feeling all right?
That's what I was just so excited. I had to talk about this game. I was so excited. So we'll see you next week after the Crystal Palace game. Quickly, Tony, do you think we beat Crystal Palace? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. I'm a 2-0. Yes too. 2-0. Yes. I'm gonna go with the gritty one.
Gets his clean sheet.
That would be good because Crystal Palace, I don't know if they've actually scored a goal yet this year. I haven't looked at that, but I would like us to keep a clean sheet. I'm gonna say 1-0, and we come back after the break with 9 points and still top of the league. So guys, again, thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next. I believe it. I know that we're winning. I've been here since the very beginning. Yeah. Dreaming of the gold medal, we're lifting. Set it up like we're penalty kicking. 57,000 people packed. Hear the fans shouting from the back. Take the ball and then we all attack. Make opponents feel the hammer crack. Wild nights, highlight stats. Tony got you covered on that. Probably got the stories and the facts. Together, everything is down packed. 3-time gold winners, but now it's time to get another cup. West Ham fans, stand up. West Ham fans, I'm forever blowing bubbles, and my fortune's always hiding.